Titus chapter 2 is for 6 weeks that a 6-year-old boy kept telling his first grade teacher about his baby brother that he was going to have, possibly a sister. One day, the mother had the boy feel her stomach, and then he could feel the baby moving. The 6-year-old was really impressed, but he didn't make much of a comment. After that, he quit telling his teacher about this baby. Well, she was a little curious and said, "You know, for weeks you kept telling me about this baby boy or girl that this brother or sister that you were going to have. And you haven't said anything for a while. Something happened?" And Tommy, all of a sudden, he burst into tears and he confessed, "I think mommy ate the baby." Mothers are very, very special to us. You ever notice there's not really a designated handbook for mothers? God has built into women a motherliness. God has built into women a know-how with children. I remember going into the nursery. We had not had any children, but we wanted to help at the church we were at. And so I was in the nursery and was helping. And somebody handed me a baby. You ever see a guy hold a baby that doesn't know anything about kids? They don't know how to do it. I mean, you hold them out here. What do you do with a baby? You know, they're light as a feather, and you're real careful. You don't want to drop them. You want to be gentle. So how do you do all that? But you hand it to a woman, and she almost instinctively always knows exactly how to do it. God has just built something into them. But you know, being a mom isn't easy. I don't know by experience, but by having a wife in my home and seeing the labor that she puts in to bring up 3 very wild boys and a young lady, how does she do it? I'm glad she's the one staying at home, not I. You know, it helps when someone comes alongside and gives advice. We have from the scriptures some wonderful encouragement and enlightenment into raising up children. But it's usually phone calls to the mom. "Mom, what do you do when the kid is doing this? Mom, what do you do when this is what's going on?" And we get the information passed down from those who have experienced it, either their good or bad experiences. Or maybe not our own moms, but other moms. Maybe we get that advice from books or the internet. Maybe someone from church. I want you to see this morning and tonight about teaching a mother. For we find in Titus chapter 2 that instruction which is to teach older women and younger women. Older women being those whose kids have moved out of the house. Younger women, those who have kids at home still. There's great duty that Timothy, the pastor of the church, being instructed by Paul in verse 1 says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." Now he is not disjointed when he says, goes on to say, that the older men be, and continues on with the attributes there. See, sound doctrine is foundational to godly living. If you do not have the sound doctrine, if you don't recognize God and all that He is, and you and all that you are, and Jesus Christ and all that He is and has done, if you do not understand those things, you have no reason or purpose or guidelines to follow. But when you've got a solid foundation of doctrine, and the doctrine that I see Paul use in the book of Timothy and Titus has not only to do with what we think of scholars thinking up in some think tank room, but the actual living out of a godly life. When we see those, we come to verse 3 and see the older women. Now, I will let you decide if you fall under older or younger. All right? I am not going to make that call. I'm wiser than that. So I will let you decide if you're older or if you're younger. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. The older women, you are here and you perhaps would put yourself just slightly, just barely making this mark of older women. You have a responsibility. This responsibility is to teach the older women to do this. But the older women in verse 4 is to admonish the younger women to behave a certain way. What way is it that these older women are to behave? Well, we see first of all that they are to behave reverently. Now, when we look at this word reverence, we might come to our mind respectable. That might be coming what's to your mind. Behave respectably. Well, that's a good way to look at it. But when you look at the word, it comes from the word holy. The older women are to live holy lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, Peter writes, "Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully on the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all that you do, because it is written, be holy as I am holy." God called Israel out to be a nation that was holy, that was distinct from the rest of the world. Their lifestyles were not to reflect that of the world. They were not to have all these multiple women. They were not to worship false idols. They were not to live a lifestyle filled with sin. They were to reflect the character of God. Do you see that sound doctrine there? Be holy as I am holy. The doctrine of God's holiness is his distinctness from all of creation. And part of that distinctness is the distinctness from evil, the separation from sin, so that God is absolutely, completely, purely holy. Without sin, cannot stand sin, cannot be in the presence of sin. Therefore, when we stand before him, we stand as guilty before God, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of the perfect standard of the holiness of God. Therefore, we are guilty and unworthy to go to heaven, and God had to do something for us by sending his only son, Jesus Christ. Here, when Paul writes to Titus, he says, "Older women likewise, that they be reverent in their behavior." The meaning that they live out holy lives. Consider yourself for a moment. Are you holy as God is holy? Now, the quick, simple answer is no. We know that we fail. We know we're not perfect. We know we're not sinless. And sometimes I think we let that become an excuse. Well, nobody's perfect. Therefore, it's okay that I did this. Or it's okay that I did that. No, it's not okay. It's true. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is absolutely, purely perfect before God. That's why we needed Jesus Christ to come. That's why we needed to place our own trust and receive his free gift. We're not perfect, but That's no excuse to say, well, that's all right, because nobody's perfect, so therefore it's okay if I have this bad habit, or if I participate in this sin, or if I live this kind of lifestyle. None of that is right. Here, we see God speaking through Paul, telling Titus to teach the women, the older women, live holy lives. That's important because in verse 4, they are to teach the younger women. How are they to teach the younger women to live God-fearing lives if they themselves are not living holy lives? You, what do you need to change in your life to be living a holy life? Along with this, we see that ladies have an incredible task of living in a manner that displays God's holiness. Having done so, or doing so, involves a behavior that avoids the behavior of idleness. He says here that the older women are not to be slanderers and not given to much wine. Not slanderers and not given to much wine. Now we can look at this verse and find it as an excuse to be involved in wine, but that's not his point. His point is to live a holy life. You need to make sure that you're also not being idle, a busybody. 1 Timothy chapter 5, Timothy is to tell the women, especially the widows, not to be living lives eating the bread of idleness, he says. Not to be busybodies going about and talebearers going and gossiping about others. Why does he say that? Well, imagine an older woman. The kids are out of the house, right? The kids are out of the house, they're gone. Your responsibilities are not near as much. Because your responsibilities are not that high, you've got time on your hands. You can actually sleep. You haven't done it for at least 18 years, depending on how many kids you have. Now you can finally take that nap. Now you can finally get a full night's sleep. Now you don't have to worry if when the kids are young, when they wake up in the night crying about nightmares, when the kids are teenagers, if they're ever coming home at night. Or what, did they sneak out? You don't have to worry about those things. You just have to worry about the big teenager in your home, that husband. That's the only one you have to worry about. And if he gets in trouble, he's on his own. So you can sleep all night. You got time on your hands during the day. You're not chasing little rugrats all over. You get the opportunity to sit down and relax. And it's not even nap time. So what shall you do with your time? You know, the old saying that the idle hands are the workshop of the devil. Sometimes it's the mind, the idle mind is the playground of the devil. I've heard them different ways. It's true. It's when we get bored, when we're not actively, diligently doing something, that our sinful nature tends to kick in and we decide to get ourselves into trouble. Not necessarily with the law, but with God. And so you have time maybe to go and get together with a bunch of other older women. I'm just using what the Bible says there. Older women and be able to chat. Did you hear about so-and-so? They say in a small church, the reason people come is to find out who did it. Then they can go talk about it at lunch. Heard a little illustration given about how the couple went to church and they left. And all she did was talk about the service afterward. Did you see what so-and-so was wearing? I think she wore that last week. We need to make sure that ladies, when you use the most of your time, here he talks about slanderers. That word in the Greek is translated 38 times, 35 times. It's translated as devil. It is the same word for devil. devils, demons, or the devil. Diablos is the word. So this word slanderer means to follow after the pattern of Satan in accusing and gossiping. Need to make sure that we have minds that are not set on what we can complain about, not set on who we can accuse and point out their imperfections. We need to have minds that are set that will honor God. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. About wine, giving too much wine. Back in that day, it was common, as in Europe even today, that beer or wine or some kind of alcohol is with the meal. It's like water. You go to a restaurant and you have water. It used to be that they just gave you water. Now you have to ask for it. And you'd have the water there. And it's just part of the meal. It's part of that culture. A little different than it is today. Now, they have the time on their hands and so might get themselves involved that way. That brings them to a point where they are pushing away from God's holiness and not doing well that way. You need to make sure, ladies, to have the, as you have the incredible task of living in a manner that's diligent, that you are doing so well, diligently seeking the Lord. So, ladies, you have the incredible task of living in a way that displays God's holiness, and in a way that, in a manner that is diligent, you also need to live in a manner of ministry, the behavior of ministry. He says, older women, you need to be reverent in your behavior. You need to not be slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. You need to be able to teach. That doesn't mean that you have the mind and the skill gifted for teaching. It means that you do teach. I find it interesting in the book of Timothy that Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. The way he phrases it tells me that Timothy did not have the gift of evangelism, but he was still to do the work of an evangelist. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, now those of you that I gift with the gift of evangelism, go and make disciples of all nations. He said to all 12 of them, 11 of them, later on, you find that the 12th one is added to replace Judas Iscariot. He tells his followers, you make disciples of all nations. You see the characteristic of some of them, and Peter and Andrew. Peter was the loud mouth. Andrew, he was the very quiet, subtle guy in the background. You see the different personalities and characteristics that God uses, each one as a witness. Ladies, you are teachers. You are constantly teaching. I know who to ask if I have an ailment. Ask a grandmother, because she's dealt with it, and she knows the home remedies. So you go ask grandma, she'll tell you how to fix it. You're constantly teaching by your lifestyle, by your encouragement. Paul goes on and says that they admonish. The word admonishment is the word discipline. Sometimes it can mean actual physical discipline, but usually verbally correcting. So these young women and the things they are supposed to do, it is the responsibility of the older women to do this. Now bear in mind, this came last in that order. The first was to be holy as God is holy. And in that holiness, you're going to display not only His righteousness, but His love. So that when we admonish one another, we do so with characteristic of love. It's not going about as a busybody, a slanderer, going about and saying to each of the young ladies, you're not doing it right. No, don't do that to your kid. You really mess them up. It's not that. But coming alongside and helping somebody out in a way that's appropriate, in a way that honors God. And to the younger women, what does that mean for you? That means we have to get rid of the pride of our own hearts. I can do it. I don't need your help. Quit nagging me and be willing to take the advice of older women. We need to have hearts. You need to have hearts that will honor God. Hearts that will listen to biblical, godly advice in the scriptures. Where are you in all of this? Are you a lady that has the incredible task of living in a manner that ministers to others? The incredible task of being diligent? The incredible task of living holy before God? Is that your task? Then how are you doing at it? Are you making yourself available? Are you calling up somebody and saying, how are things going? How can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help? Are you living your life in such a way that you are honoring God with every moment of it? How can you change? How can you be that older woman that will honor God? You can be creative about it. You can be decisive about it. And you can certainly do it. God does not give instructions. He does not give you empowerment to do. Here, we find that you are to behave reverently, not be slanderers, not given to much wine. You're to be teachers of good things. And you're to admonish the younger women. That is your task. Now the question comes, what do you do with that knowledge? Will you take up that task? Will you be that woman of God who honors Him with your life and who performs that sound doctrine which He has called you to? We're going to pray, and as we do, if you're here, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first step. Never accepted His free gift. If you're here and you have accepted that free gift of eternal life by putting your trust alone in His Son, Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross and resurrection to pay the full penalty for your sin, then you know that you belong to Him. You have marching orders. You have marching orders as an older woman, tonight as a younger woman, in the following verses, in verse 4 and 5. Are you doing that well? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help each one of us be challenged. For us as men, know that we also, though these instructions are not given directly to us, we also are accountable to hold these things true in our lives as well. Oh Lord, our God, I pray that you would help us, that we might honor you in a tremendous way, that our parenthood would reflect your character. And as a result, we would see young men and women who come up loving the Lord, who live lives that honor you, who see your hand of blessing on their lives. Father, we live in a world where moms and dads abandon their children, whether they physically abandon them somewhere or they just emotionally abandon them, where they leave the kids to raise themselves, where they don't administer discipline, where they don't teach them godly, sound advice, where they don't teach your word. And Father, we see the results of that as we find growing number of gangs, as we find the number of kids in prisons, and we find this in such a horrible way. Father, I pray that you would help the women here, that they may be that solid foundation that these kids need, whether it's their own children or children around them, that they may have a direct and fantastic influence for your sake. Help us that we might live godly lives, that we might be diligent in serving you, and that we might minister to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.